Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Today's episode trigger warning is explicit sexual content.
And I have a Spotify comment, and this one comes from Roxy, and it says, "You guys have put a little bit of fun in my life right now. Listening to y'all had really helped me stay on a positive note. I'm currently couch hopping and dealing with social services and no long-term support, so smiling or laughing is hard, but y'all managed to help me smile every episode."
We're always here for Roxy. You.
Yeah, we're your girls.
Yeah, I'm glad we can make you smile.
Me too.
And this week, we're telling Riley all about Bride by Allie Hazelwood. And how many stars did you guys give it on Goodreads?
This was the second time reading it, and I gave it 4 stars both times. I thought it was good.
I did not like this book. I gave it a 3.5, which is crazy for me.
Why didn't you like it?
Yeah, why? Okay, so I like that the FMC was just like a cool FMC, but there was just tropes. It had all the tropes that I hate. There's miscommunication tropes. It was just not the vibe for me. By the end, I was praising Jesus that I was finished with it.
I also gave it a 3.5. I feel like this book was so hyped up. This is my first time reading it, and I feel like it was so big on book talk, and people were talking about how wild and crazy it was. I don't want to like roast anyone, but like anybody who thinks this book is crazy and wild is like a vanilla ass reader. So I went into this expecting crazy antics, and I was like, oh, this is a regular ass book.
Yeah.
Misery is our FMC, and she's a vampire, and she's getting married to someone she's never met. He's a werewolf, the alpha of his pack. It's a political marriage to try and form some peace between the two species. I thought her name was so fun.
I love her name. I do like that.
As she walks down the aisle, they see each other for the first time, and she can see the hatred on his face. Everyone thinks he'll kill her within weeks, but she has to do this. She reaches him and trips on the cobblestone, but he grabs her arm and pulls her up, pressing their fronts together, and she feels like prey. She can smell him, and she thinks to herself he'd make for such good blood. Meanwhile, he's inhaling her scent right back.
He inhales several times in rapid succession, filling his lungs, pulling me in. His hand moves up from my arm to the dip of my throat, pressing into one of my markings. A guttural sound rises from someplace low in his chest, making my knees weak. Then he opens his mouth, and I know that he's going to tear me to pieces. He's going to maul me. He's going to devour me. "You," he says, voice deep, almost too low to hear. "How the fuck do you smell like this?"
He says, "You smell like shit. Why?"
The entire first chunk of the book, I was just thinking of Edward sitting next to Bella in chemistry, where he's like,
"Brother, ooh."
Then the ceremony's complete, and they're officially husband and wife. 6 weeks before the wedding, Misery had been pretending to be a human with a human job and human friends when she got a call to visit her father at the vampire headquarters. He tells her that recently 4 young vampire boys disappeared after swimming across the river that separates the vampire territory and the werewolf territory. The two species almost went to war, but then the boys were returned alive. That's when the vampires found out there was a new alpha over there, and the alpha and Misery's father set up a meeting. During the meeting, Misery's father realized that this leader was a good one and suggested an interspecies wedding.
Mm-hmm.
So her dad is like the leader of the vampires.
Okay.
And we kind of learn why she's over in the human realm. So when she was a child, she got sent over to the human realm as collateral, and a human child was sent over to the vampires as collateral, so that if anyone did anything to break any of the treaties or anything, they would kill their collateral.
Oh, all right.
So her dad was like, "All right, you're collateral. See you later.
Bye."
Their relationship's not great.
No, I would assume so.
In their history, there have only been 5 interspecies marriages, and they all coincided with periods of peace between the two territories. She's furious when he tells her that he offered her up to be the one marrying the werewolf. She will be living with them for 1 year, and the werewolves will be sending over one of theirs during that time as collateral. So they're still doing the collateral thing. She tries to refuse, and he tells her that Lo Moreland will be her husband. Something about the name shocks her into submission, and she resigns to her fate. We're back in the present, and Misery, she also goes by Misery, Missy is at her wedding reception, and she's kind of sneaking around listening to what people are talking about. It's mostly one species talking shit about the other and vice versa, but she hears a heated discussion between her husband and another werewolf about how Missy is something more than what they originally thought.
Why?
I don't know. She doesn't know. But then her attention is caught by a toddler werewolf and a toddler vampire fighting over a broken action figure. Lo quickly steps in and defuses it, giving the vampire baby his toy back, and gives a stern talking to the baby werewolf before ruffling his hair and sending him on his way. It's time for their first dance, and Misery's like, damn, I wish he didn't think I was so stinky, because he actually smells really good. Because she's like, do I have like BO? Like, what is going on? Because he just sniffs her and then is like repulsed by her.
He's like, yucky. I'd be so offended.
She is offended.
Yeah, I'd cry.
But then he starts talking to her about her dad, and he's asking why he doesn't feel the need to love or protect her, because she got sent off as collateral as a child, so she's been living with the humans. It's a whole thing. She doesn't have an answer, and they have a little bit of back and forth about how they don't understand the other's motivations for the marriage, when suddenly someone yells, you vampire bitch, and pulls a knife on Missy, but Lo snatches it lightning quick and saves her life. Basically, Edward stopping that van from hitting Bella in the parking lot.
Wow, her man.
Green blood trickles down his arm as he holds onto the blade, but he's not even fazed. So he bleeds green.
Wow, what a color.
The human waiter who attacked her is dragged off by security. Lo breathes in deeply and tells her that for the next year, they need to make sure they stay out of each other's way, and then he leaves her alone at her own wedding reception. A few days later, she's snoozing in her new room when a werewolf child comes in and starts pestering her. We learn that her name is Anna, and she's Lo's sister. But a woman named Juno comes in and tells Missy to leave Anna alone and do not speak to her.
I'd say, get your fucking kid. It came into my room.
That's what she said, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's left alone in her room with just her best friend's cat that she's taking care of, because her best friend Serena is a journalist and disappeared with no trace and cannot be found. So she was just left with this cat. And her and the cat fucking hate each other.
Yeah, the cat hates her.
Oh my god, to be around a cat that hates you? Terrifying.
Yeah, I'd be scared to move.
Yeah.
The only clue Missy ever found was a ripped out page from her planner with the name L.E. Moreland written on it. And she's like, Lo Moreland, my future husband. Boom, married. Gonna find my friend.
Oh, okay.
The next day, she's getting a little house tour from a werewolf named Alex, who seems terrified of her, but she reassures him that she's really not any danger to them. The more she looks around, the more she likes the whole vibe of the house. She starts to ask if he's seen any humans around the house before trying to do some sleuthing about Serena, but he's like, no, there are no humans that hang out around here. And also, I don't know if I said it before, but Serena's a human. She ditches Alex and starts snooping through the house for any clues on her missing bestie, but she's interrupted going through Lo's forbidden office by a werewolf named Max telling her he didn't know vampires could be beautiful, and he means it as an insult.
Yeah, I would take that as an insult.
She does. He seems kind of disoriented, and she asks if he's okay, and he's like, how can I be okay when there's a vampire in my alpha's home? And she's like, yeah, well, werewolves haven't been any better to us. So he lunges for her and grabs her, but she fights back, and he tells her he's gonna end her. So she busts out her fangs, and then a pair of strong hands grabs her and pins her to the wall. It's Lo, her husband.
What are you gonna do?
His hands are wrapped around her neck, asking what the hell she thinks she's doing. And now there are other werewolves all around them checking Max for wounds, and he tells them that Missy was the aggressor and that she was about to drink him dry. And now she's annoyed as fuck because he attacked her, she defended herself, and then he's like, ah, scary vampire.
I mean, like, of course he did. I would be so mad. I would be crashing the fuck out. I'd be screaming. I'd be biting everyone.
Lo locks the two of them in the office alone and demands to know her side of the story. And she's like, he came at me first. And then Juno comes in and calls Missy a leech and starts spewing hate at her. But Lo tells her to get out. And Juno's the same girl that walked in and was like, don't talk to Anna. Just hella mean to her for no reason. She leaves and Missy asks Lo if he believes her. And he's like, well, you were showing him your fangs, and asks her how she learned how to defend herself so well. She tells him that her and her foster sister, who is Serena, took self-defense classes together, and he tells her no more fighting in his territory. He tells her she needs to behave, and somehow she feels his alpha aura and agrees.
alpha.
As she walks out the door, she turns back around to ask about her cat, but she sees him sniffing the air with his eyes closed, and she's like, do I stink or something? What is going on? He won't answer her, so she's like, is my cat cool to walk around here? He's locked in my room. He's getting grumpy. And Lo's like, yeah, sure, whatever. And she just walks out of the office. The next few days go by, and she's never alone. She has someone escorting her everywhere, and she can't snoop around for Serena anymore. She just sleeps all day and naps at night and takes plenty of baths to try and get the stink off of her that is apparently bothering her husband so much.
Oh my god, this sounds miserable.
Yeah. And, like, she's the type of vampire that can't go out in the sun.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. She can, but it's very painful, and it hurts them. She doesn't, like, sparkle. She, like, blisters.
Yeah.
Well, that's no fun.
On the fifth night, one of her nicer guards, Mick, tells her she has a video call coming in from her brother, and it's her twin brother. He asks how it's going, and she's like, I am so fucking bored. She asks if there's any news about Serena, and he tells her, nope, there's nothing. She goes back to her room to try and hack the werewolf servers when Anna appears on her windowsill. So she's also very good with computers, so she's trying to, like, hack the mainframe to see if there's any cross-referencing she can do to find Serena.
Oh, hacker girl.
Yeah.
Women in STEM.
Yeah.
Missy's like, girl, how did you get up here? And Anna's like, they locked me out of the room, so I climbed up. Can I play with you? She sighs and pulls up a game on her laptop. Anna snuggles up to her, which catches Misery off guard. They play for a while, and Anna's like, I gotta go. My cat Sparkles is waiting for me. And Missy's like, no, that's my cat, and he's a boy, and he's Serena's cat.
Give me my cat back.
Yeah. She asks who Serena is, and Missy says, my best friend, but she's missing. Anna says maybe she'll turn up, and says she's leaving so she can get out of here before Lo is done dealing with the loyalists. And the loyalists are people who sympathize with the old alpha that Lo took over from.
Oh.
So there's turmoil in the Ware community. Anna sneaks back out the window, and now that Missy knows Lo is out for the night, she's got some work to do. She breaks into Lo's bedroom to snoop around. It's spick and span with no clutter whatsoever. The only frivolous thing she finds is a bottle of lube in his nightstand.
What are you doing with that?
Jerking off, probably. She busts open the bottom drawer of his dresser since it's locked and finds a book filled with sketches of architecture, and also there's a sketch of her.
Oh.
An artist.
Also, he's like an architect.
That's cool.
Yeah. She puts everything back and sleeps until the next evening. When she wakes up, she can see a get-together going on down in the yard with all the werewolves, and she watches the way Lo interacts with all of his people. He seems very well respected. Then she sees Max, the werewolf that she had that altercation with, and he's completely separate from the entire party. She sees him talking to Anna, and it ruffles her feathers for some reason. He's pointing out into the woods about something, and Anna is shaking her head no, but then he grabs her and pulls her toward the trees. Missy looks around and sees that nobody is noticing what is happening. She's annoyed that she even cares, but bursts downstairs, and then when she goes outside, it's still too bright for her to be out there, and her skin is burning.
Ugh.
Yeah. She runs into the woods and yells after them to stop and asks Max where he's taking Anna. He's pissed, asking what she's even doing here, and she's like, what are you doing with a child in the middle of the forest?
Yeah.
He picks Anna up and starts to carry her away, and Anna screams. Missy lunges after them, and a bunch of werewolves jump out at them. They get brought back to the house, and Lo is pissed, asking what the fuck just happened. And we find out that there was a plan for Max to lure Anna away while he was trailed by the pack to find out where he was going to try and take her. So the rest of the pack knew that he was doing some shady shit with Anna, and they kind of let her be bait.
Oh, just to see, like, what he was doing?
Yeah. And so Lo's like, you ruined my plan. But she was just trying to help.
Yeah, that's all she's trying to do.
Missy tries to help and asks who he's working for, and Max spits on her. And Lo's like, do not ever disrespect my wife, and demands that he apologize. She uses her vampire powers and scrambles his brain a little bit, and it's called a thrall, and it's a form of hypnosis, so she's gonna try and get some answers for the pack. We find out that the previous alpha's old mate, Emery, put him up to this. Mick takes Missy out of the room for the rest of the interrogation, and he's clearly very impressed with her for her mind powers. He drops her at her room, so she takes the opportunity to do some more snooping for Serena in Lo's office. She feels a rubbing of fur against her calf, and she's like, not now, Sparkles. But she looks down, and it's an angry wolf growling right at her.
Ugh.
It's one of the pack mates. His name is Cal, and Lo walks in behind him asking what the fuck she's doing. He asks why she'd go through his drawers and why she left her scent all over his room. Another packmate goes to the computer she was searching on and tells Lo she was searching for someone named Serena Paris. He's like, who the fuck is that? But she won't tell him anything. He accuses her of being a spy sent in to gather intel for her father.
Oh my god.
I know, it's a whole thing. So she's like, she's my friend and she's a human and your name was in her planner on the day she disappeared. He sits back and tries to think on what to tell her and is like, you married me because someone wrote my name in a planner. And she's like, well, I need to find my friend. Anna bursts in and Juno comes in after her and is like, get back here, Liliana Esther Moreland. And her initials would be L.E. Moreland. And Lo tells Misery they need to talk. It was never Lo. It was Anna that she was writing about in her planner.
What the fuck? A child?
The next morning, Lo and Misery are having coffee and she tells him that the only allegiance she has to literally any living person is Serena. And she knows that Serena's out there somewhere. They go over the theories on what Serena was possibly writing about in regards to Anna and why she went missing over it. They start discussing Anna and he tells her a very large secret. Anna is a hybrid, which is how she's related to Lo, but it has to be protected information. So their mom is a werewolf and Anna's dad is a human.
Oh.
Which apparently is like really difficult mating wise.
Mm.
They then talk about the loyalists and who possibly tried to be the one to pull the kidnap Anna card. But as he puts Anna's sandwich together, he leaves one ingredient out and it's her weakness. It's peanut butter.
Oh, is she like allergic?
No, she loves it. It's like the only human food that she eats.
Oh.
She literally scoops some out with her fingers and just starts going to town and he's really confused. He learns that she can eat some human stuff, but not all of it because vampires can't digest all human food and they don't have like the right molars to chew it, which I thought was weird. I don't.
To chew peanut butter?
No, like just any kind of human food.
Oh.
So that's why she likes peanut butter because she doesn't have to like chew it.
Oh my God.
She's very embarrassed by this, but he tells her that he eats normal food for pleasure all the time. There's nothing wrong with eating something because you like the way it tastes. They end their conversation with promises of access to whatever she needs computer-wise to find Serena, and then he leaves. It's been 5 nights now with her working with Alex on cross-referencing all of the information they have on Serena. There's still 3 nights until the full moon, and she's been told that she has to stay in her room during that time.
Yeah, they're gonna eat her.
Awoo! Yeah.
Later that night, the howls are unbearable because apparently the closer it gets, the more active they are. She sleeps in her closet, by the way.
Uh-oh. Extra dark.
Yeah.
Oh, she's a vampire, yeah.
So she's in her little closet bed reading a book, and Anna shows up asking if she can join. She agrees. Later, while Anna is asleep, Misery hears someone coming and she's ready to fight to the death to protect Anna, but it's just Lo and he was very panicked because they couldn't find Anna anywhere. So they thought she got kidnapped.
No, she's right here, girl.
He scoops Anna up and leaves, and now it's been a whole week since the full moon, and Anna decided that she's hosting a dinner party for everyone and Misery is allowed to join.
Sweet.
She serves meatloaf and goldfish crackers, and Mick tells Misery that the blood bank will be delaying their delivery for her. Alex is shaking in his boots and she makes a joke about eating him first, but Lo says that she has a couple bags left, so it's fine.
He's like, honey, don't play with your food.
She's like, I'm gonna get ya.
Yeah, and Alex is like, please don't fucking eat me.
Yeah.
They all talk strategy for Lo's upcoming trip to go to Emery's territory. So like the loyalist territory. Anna declares that while Lo is gone for the weekend, it's going to be Misery's birthday since she doesn't know when her birthday is, and they're going to have a giant party to celebrate. Misery very clearly hates this idea, but she's like, okay, kid, whatever. Later that night, she sneaks onto the roof and finds Lo there. They chit-chat about his plan again, and they start talking about other things, including her fangs and why she hides them. At one point, too, she mentions, because obviously humans are scared of her with her fangs, she tried to sand them down with the cheese grater, and I was like,
oh my god, no, I didn't want to hear that.
I had to hear it. You had to hear it.
Fair enough.
Oh, imagine. No.
No.
She shows her fangs to him and he's intrigued, but he doesn't take it as any type of threat. And then she admits that her and Serena got into a fight a couple days before she disappeared. By the end of the night, they're a little bit closer and he tells her that she can go with him, but it has to be done his way and they have to let him mark her.
Is he gonna piss on her?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just lifts his leg and pisses all over her.
She sleeps most of the day and then by nightfall, they're ready to take off. Lois piloting the private jet that will take them and then tells her that when they land, he needs to mark her immediately to send a message that she is not a threat and she's not to be messed with. And she has no idea what marking is, so she's like, yeah, it's fine. I don't care. Whatever you need to do. He tells her that he's going to need verbal consent because he has to rub his body all over hers and lick her.
Oh.
She says, yeah, okay. And then they land and he gets to work. He starts nuzzling her throat and she's really into this, but then remembers that he doesn't like how she smells, so she apologizes.
I know you don't like my scent. I fucking love your scent. I knew it.
So she's not stinky.
No, he just can't control himself.
Then he starts to nibble at her throat and she almost moans, but he starts sucking on her neck and she does moan and she is so aroused that she's scared that he can now smell that.
Oh, he can, baby.
He bites her neck very hard and when it's done, she asks if it's better now, referring to her scent.
My smell. Do I smell like mine? It's a rumble in his throat. You smell like your mind, misery.
That's his girl.
They hear a car pull up and it's time to meet Emery. Misery thinks that Emery looks like a very sweet older woman, but knows she should be on alert. They get to Emery's house for dinner and it's super weird, but they retire to their bedroom where she does a big sweep of the room for bugs, not like actual bugs, like electronic bugs to see if they're being like, yeah, to see if they're being recorded. The room is clear, so he quickly gets her a blood bag, and then she asks more about his mate, because it's mentioned multiple times that he has a mate, and her name is Gabrielle, but it's not elaborated on.
Oh. When they sent Misery over to the werewolf territory, they sent Gabby over to the vampire territory as collateral.
Oh.
So she asks more about his mate and why he doesn't tell her how he feels about her, but he quickly shuts the conversation down. She knows that he has insomnia, so she scratches his hair like she used to do for Serena until he falls asleep. The next morning, they come up with a plan. After dinner, she's going to say that she needs to feed. He will come with her as her overprotective husband, while Cohen, one of Lowe's friends, distracts Emery so they can sneak into the office to plant their spy devices. The plan stays on track, and while Misery is working on the laptop, someone approaches. She thinks quick on her feet and grabs Lowe, pulling him close, telling him to kiss her. He says no because they told the others that she needed to feed, so the only logical plan is for her to actually feed from him.
Duh.
But she's having a full-on panic attack now because she's never actually fed from a live person. That's not a thing anymore. Like, it's all from blood bags. So she's like, I don't know what the fuck to do. The door opens as she sinks her fangs into his neck. His blood is warm and spicy, and it's the most delicious thing that she's ever tasted.
Warm and spicy?
Yeah, spicy. Like a hot cup of fireball.
Yeah. Yuck.
Oh, that made me want to throw up. The men who entered the room apologize and quickly leave, but she doesn't stop. She didn't know this about feeding from a live source, but she's hella horny and he's grabbing her ass. She can feel his erection as they dry hump until she comes and finishes drinking from him.
Oh my God.
She needs space now though, because she can't believe that just happened and she doesn't know if it's normal. She's like, did I do something wrong? Like, what the fuck is going on?
Why am I so horny?
Because she wasn't raised in the vampire community, so she doesn't know how anything works. She was just shipped off as a child.
She apologizes and they hear someone else coming. She quickly gets the USB from the computer and then Emery and Cohen come in saying it's time for dessert. Cohen says that it looks like the two already had dessert, plus Cal called and they need to get back. Something's wrong with Anna. They take the private jet and hurry home and it seems like Anna might have the flu and Misery tries to tell them what will help her, but Mick keeps dismissing her, being like, you don't know what you're talking about. Like, we need to go see a doctor. Lo decides to listen to Misery and get everything everything that Misery says Serena used to take when she felt like this. Once they get Anna to take the medicine, she checks with Alex to make sure all the computer tracking stuff is good to go. Then she tells a little white lie and asks for Alex to look up men from the Human Wear Bureau 5 years ago, and she says Lowe's asking for the information. So she's trying to hunt down Anna's father.
Girl, you're gonna get caught.
She goes to check on Anna, who's feeling much better after the medicine, but Lowe feels like shit because he did not know what he would do without Misery's help on the situation. She tells him that it's okay, Anna's fine, everything's good, and it calms him down. The next day, she decides to call her brother to ask if all the hormones of live feeding is normal, and he says, nothing about your situation is normal, Misery. And don't mention it, don't tell anyone about it, never again. Keep it to yourself.
He's like, I'm your fucking brother. I don't want to hear this shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said, please don't ever tell me that again.
Once she's off the phone, she runs into Lowe, who tells her that Anna is feeling a whole lot better. They have this weird sexual tension thing going on, and he touches her, and she wants to know if he feels the way that she does regarding him, if he's all hot and bothered. And he is.
Yeah.
Just as she's about to kiss him, searing pain stabs through her, and everything goes black.
What the fuck?
She wakes in and out, seeing her old doctor, and he tells Lowe that someone poisoned her and she will likely go into a stasis. It could be for a couple hours or a couple days, but it's for her body to heal. She's gonna need fresh blood when she wakes up, and a lot of it. So the vampires in this world, when they're hurt or poisoned or whatever, they go into like this stasis so their body can repair itself.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I could go for a nice stasis right now.
Yeah. Same. That'd be so nice.
Lowe never leaves her side the whole time. They think that Anna was the intended target, and they decide to move her somewhere that only Lowe will know the location of. When Misery wakes up at 1 a.m., she gets up to go find blood when she steps over a large white wolf. She knows it's Lowe. He ushers her back into her room, and she goes to her closet and pets him until she falls asleep. She wakes up alone and goes to find Lowe, and when she does, he's having some werewolf meeting in the living room, but dismisses everyone except for her. She learns that she was in her stasis for 5 days, and the truce with the vampires almost collapsed because of it, but everything's fine. The damn peanut butter was poisoned.
Who the fuck is doing this?
She wants to figure out who would do that, and she's going to with the help of Lowe. The only thing he's going to help her with right now, though, is to help her heal. He picks her up and takes her to her bathroom, drawing her a bath. She strips in front of him, and he helps her climb in, then starts washing her, and she begs for him to touch her.
Washing her. I'd probably be like, fucking stop, you're not doing it right.
His fuck is soft and awestruck, but his fingers shift to where I need them. Barely a brush of knuckles against my labia, and I hiss right as he inhales. The pat of his thumb finds my clit in warm, rhythmic circles. Her labia.
He's got to make sure it's clean. She's been in bed for 5 days.
I love when they use, like, the actual anatomy.
Labia. Majora. Or minora. She didn't specify.
She comes on his fingers and then asks if they can finally kiss because they have not kissed at all.
Oh, and I love a good smooch.
It's passionate and amazing, and he scoops her out of the tub, saying how worried he was for her. He puts her in her closet blanket bed, and then he says,
"You smell like you just came." I stare back, speechless at his directness. I did just come, and I need to eat you out. He needs to. Okay, it's a were thing, he says, almost apologetic. He's like, I have to eat.
I'm a werewolf.
I have to munch. It's a were thing.
He does just that and then starts touching himself. They both come, and he tells her he wants to lock her in this closet forever. Then her brother calls and congratulates her on surviving her first assassination attempt.
Oh, nice.
He tells her that Serena's apartment was broken into 3 days ago, and they're looking into it. He'll send what he can. Once the call ends, Lowe tells her to be good, kisses her forehead, and then he leaves.
It's been about a week since she's fed, because obviously she was in her little stasis comatose situation, and homegirl is hella hungry. She gets to the kitchen to get herself some cold blood and finds Lowe and Alex in there. Alex hugs her and is very thankful that she's okay, and he's like, throws himself on her, and he's like, thank you for sacrificing yourself for Anna. And she's like, I was just trying to get some peanut butter, but Yeah, you're She's welcome.
Like, well, I didn't know that, but yeah.
They reassure her that Sparkles has been cared for, and Alex tells her that he's finally found the connection with Serena and the Human Wear Bureau. It's a man named Thomas Jalakis. Apparently, Serena met with him for an article for the HWB that was never published, and when doing the background checks, he never actually worked there. Alex leaves the room, and Lo breaks the news to Misery that Thomas was killed coincidentally by a car accident 2 weeks after Serena went missing. But he has ties to Governor Davenport, and that is who they need to reach out to see if he has anything to do with it. Luckily, 3 hours ago when Alex told Lo this information, Lo already made the phone call to Governor Davenport, and he told him that they wanted to have a dinner to thank him for their wedding ceremony because he was the one that did their whole ceremony, and their date is tomorrow at the governor's house. Her tummy starts grumbling, and he said, "Oh no, girl, don't grab a bag. Come get it fresh at the source."
He says, "Come hump my leg again, girl."
She tries telling him maybe they shouldn't because of the consequences. And he said, "Baby girl, we are the consequences. Don't worry.
They're already married. Just do it."
Yeah.
She says, "Okay, sure. What could go wrong? It's not like you have a mate already or something." Because mind you, she knows about Gabby and she's like, "I deserve this."
Well, they're married.
But she says, "It's fine. I'm not going to drink from your throat. I'll just drink from your wrist so that no one sees your marks." And he says, "Do you really think I care what people see?"
Bite him right on his penis.
I'm sure there's a vein there. Nice big one that she can use. She starts sucking on his wrist and he loves it. He starts sucking on her neck, licking and marking her.
"Of all the good things, he grasps my hips as I roll them into his. Of all the good things I've felt in my fucking life, you are the best." Poor Gabby.
Poor Gabby.
Gabby who? I don't see no one.
He said, "Oh, that bitch? No."
He carries her to his bed and confesses he didn't change his sheets for the longest time because they smelled like her.
Gross.
Ew.
Oh, I thought it was cute.
The scent was so sweet. I got myself off to the filthiest fantasies, Misery. He gently flips me around, belly against the mattress. My leggings are pulled down to my thighs, my shirt in the opposite direction, and then the smell faded. He climbs over me on each side of my legs. His hands close on the round globes of my ass, half stroking, half gripping. Through the rough cloth of his jeans, his erection drags against my thighs.
He pins her hands above her head, and his lips drift back to the nape of her neck over and over again, almost like he can't help himself. Then he takes his dick out. She asks if he has a condom, and he's like, "No, but we can use one if you want, but it doesn't matter because we won't be having sex." She's a little put off for a second, and he's like, "This has nothing to do with you. Me and you, we're just not sexually compatible. I'm going to hurt you if we do this." And she looks at his dick, and she's like, "It looks fine to me." Like,
she's like, "All right, buddy.
Pretty average. Not that big."
He tells her it's not because she's a vampire, it's because she's her. She doesn't understand what he's saying. So he's like, "Do you just want me to show you?" And she says, "Yes." He asks her to start feeding on him first. So she's like, "Twist my arm, okay." She does as he asks, and things start getting frisky between them. He drags her hand down to his dick and then helps guide her with a handy. She starts rubbing herself on his thigh, so she starts humping him again, and comes, and that's his undoing.
Good for her for being able to come on a thigh.
She loves it, man. That's her thing.
She's half werewolf, basically, already. She's just humping legs left and right.
His hand comes down to guide mine lower on his cock until we reach the base. Shit. His cheeks are flushed, head tilted back. I don't immediately understand, not until his soft skin changes. Something inflates under my palm. Lo's hand closes around mine, pressing it there, circling the swelling protuberance like all he wants is for it to be enclosed, held within something. It grows larger, and Lo's stifled groans grow louder. And Misery. He's saying my name like a prayer, like I'm the only thing standing between him and heaven on earth. And that's when I suddenly understood what he meant. Sexually, he and I might not be fully compatible.
Yeah, it is. Sit on that knot.
So they're at Governor Davenport's house for dinner, and when they ask him about his involvement in Thomas's death, the governor denies any part in it. Lo has the ability to, like, smell lies, and he just smells it right off the bat. He takes him out of his chair and slams him up against the wall, choking him, and the governor admits that Thomas was talking to a journalist about embezzlement, and he had to kill him. They got what they came here for, so they immediately left, and they're spitting theories to each other about Serena's disappearance on their way back. They're thinking, like, maybe she doesn't want to be found. Maybe she was the one who knew about Anna and told Thomas, blackmailing him, threatening him, and using an expose or something. Misery knows her bestie, though, and knows that she would never do that, especially to a child. And her mind goes back to their last fight, and she just doesn't know how she feels about anything right now. Rather than going back to Wear territory, they get to a meeting point and see her twin brother, Owen. And when they get there, she's hella excited to see him. That is, until someone else steps out of the car, and it's Lowe's mate, Gabby.
Gabby, get the fuck out of here.
Misery is quaking in her boots, and she's feeling all the emotions right now. Lowe is trying to ask her, like, what's going on? And she just shrugs him off, saying that she's cold, because she's just mentally trying to prepare herself for seeing Lowe with his mate. Only, their meeting is very formal and has zero pining between the two of them. Lowe and Owen get along pretty well, and even Gabby and Misery surprisingly hit it off despite the ache in her chest. Owen drops the bomb that he plans to take over his father's seat in the council, and that's why he couldn't tell her over the phone. He's been planning this coup for 3 months, and their father has already upset the balance. He tells her in their special language, so like, her and Serena have a special language, and then her and Owen have a special language, and he tells her that he could do nothing when they were children and their father sent her into enemy territory, and he was a coward when she returned and it happened a second time, but now he's determined to try. He tells everyone that he just wants everything to end. He wants to end the collateral system, the artificial borderlines, the spiteful territories, and he just wants peace between the kingdoms. And Lo says, hell yeah, brother, I would love to see you reign.
Hell yeah, brother.
They leave, and as Misery's in the car watching Lo and Gabby say goodbye, she's mentally telling herself this has to be the time where he slips up and shows something, but it is very short and to the point, genuine but distant. And within this small meeting, something extremely important dawned on her, that Lo may have a mate, but it is not Gabby.
It's you, girl.
Her old house is 5 minutes away, and they decide to stop by since she still technically owns it. He's instantly overwhelmed with the intense smell of her, and he's like, I just need a minute. And she's like, don't care, and just starts grilling him over Gabby.
Yep, as she should.
Mm-hmm, period.
Give me the tea.
She finds out Gabby offered to become the collateral and tells him that she thought that Gabby was his mate because Governor Davenport said so at the wedding. He tells her that he had to give up someone from his immediate family, and he was either a mate or Anna that he had to give up. And obviously it was not going to be his sister. So they did a little white lie. They start smooching and things turn hot quickly. She begs to have sex with him and he tells her they can't because of his knot. And she says, I do not care.
You know what its purpose is? I may know nothing about wear biology, but I'm not stupid or naive. Yes, say it. This is simultaneously mortifying and the most erotic experience of my entire life. To keep it inside. His hand slides underneath my shirt, gently stroking the underside of my breasts. Keep what inside, sweetheart? I close my eyes. My heart beats a pounding, sluggish rhythm into every inch of my skin. Your cum.
To keep your cum in?
Yeah.
I thought it was just for a nice little soak.
No, it's to keep all the cummies in there.
Cummies.
He tells her if they're going to do this, she's got to get hella soaked first. So he starts finger blasting her and she immediately comes.
Please put it in. He nods against my temple, breath shallow, and quick he hooks my underwear to the side and pushes his cock inside me. The burning stretch deepening until it cannot go any further, and whatever it was that I expected from having a man, having Lowe inside me, this is different.
Yeah, girl. He's half dog.
She got that dog in her.
Yes, she do.
They fit perfect together. They're bumping uglies until she's coming and he pulls out and comes on her back to stop her from being knotted.
Boo.
Yeah, not the girl.
Once they come down from La La Land, she asks if all wears knot, and he's like, no, it's complicated. And she's like, okay, well then explain. And he's obviously trying to change the subject, and she's like basically doing long division in her head right now. She's putting everything together. She's like making him talk this out with her, and she's like, okay, cool. So has this ever happened to you before you met me? The knotting is between mates, right? It's me. I'm your mate, not Gabby. And he looks absolutely torn. She reassures him that she feels the same way that he does. And he's like, let me stop you right there. I'm really sorry if I ever gave you the wrong impression.
What?
She's not taking no for an answer, though, and is hitting him with the facts of why she knows she's his mate. And he lashes out and he tells her that this isn't something a non-wear can comprehend, especially for someone who's been abandoned and mistreated their whole life and struggles with belonging. So he's just hitting her while she's down.
Yeah.
Misery is appalled that he fucking said that, and she knows that he's just trying to push her away. She's still pushing him, though, and he puts his foot down and tells her that she's hot and he enjoyed fucking her and he wishes her the best, but this was a mistake. And from now on, they should be apart. His phone rings and he tells her he needs to leave. He will have someone pick her up and take her back to Ware territory. He leans down to kiss her and she just turns to walk into the bathroom to shower, not looking back at him. She's heartbroken. And Mick, who is her favorite Ware that's in like a little community, he's an older one, just came to pick her up. She asks him how he's doing and he tells her that he's been better, and she asks him if he's talked to Anna lately and he says no, but it's for the best. When she asks why, he just tells her that it's complicated, and the next thing she knows, she feels a prick on her arm and it's Mick holding a syringe to it.
What the hell?
He just looks her in the eyes and apologizes sadly, and then everything goes black.
Goddamn. She has bad luck.
Yeah. Misery is woken up by none other than bestie Serena, who is also being held captive.
Oh, Serena. Hey, girl.
Yeah, hey. They have a cutesy, joyful moment, and Serena tells her she's been held captive this entire time. 3 months, 2 weeks, and 4 days to be exact.
Holy shit.
They catch each other up with Lei for a hot second, and then they try to come up with a plan. When they next get their food delivered, Misery's going to try to thrall whoever comes in, but she's never done it without physically touching someone, so she tries and fails. And this guard is pissed. He tries to attack Misery, but bestie Serena pounces on him like a damn puma, and even the guard somehow can't escape Serena's grip, and this guard is a werewolf. She starts snapping the guard's fingers until he opens the door for them, and they're able to finally escape. They find out that they're about 20 floors up in a very familiar building, and it's Misery's father's nest. His second in command, Vanya, comes up on them with weapons ready to fight and tells them they both need to come with her one last time. The girls are dumped into Misery father's office, and she's hurt and betrayed that he's doing this, but also not, because he's like the shittiest fucking thing on the planet. When she asked Mick why he did it, he told her that her father has his son, and her dad just has the audacity to look very smug and is like smiling about it. And her dad's doing all this because of power. The attention gets turned on Serena, and we find out that Serena herself is also a half-breed. And Misery, this is like the absolute most betrayal, because she feels so hurt that her bestie just kept the biggest secret of all from her. And she tries telling her that she didn't even know for sure what was happening to her, and that's why she didn't say anything. And Misery's father said from the second they gave her to Misery, they've been tracking her and recently found out some interesting things. She started researching her parents' lineage and started sticking her nose where it doesn't belong. Then during the time of the full moon, she would have to get away and be out of nature. And during those times too, Misery and Serena would get in fights and she would be gone for days on end. We also find out that it was in fact not Governor Davenport who killed Thomas. It was Misery's father.
Well, shit.
Serena asks why they haven't tried killing her yet, and he told her they plan to use her and Anna as test subjects to learn more about their species, since they're the only two known. And that prompted Misery to ask, if you plan to use Anna as a test subject, why did you try killing her with the peanut butter? And her dad's like, girl, I didn't try to kill Anna. I tried killing you.
What a dick.
And he tells her that Mick fucked up the dosage, but I think Mick did it on purpose. That's my theory. Just then, as if it can't get any worse, Owen comes in, her twin brother, smiling, looking evil, with a low behind him, handcuffed.
Cunt.
Misery's dad plans to use Misery as leverage to get Low to tell him where Anna's being held. Vanya puts the blade up to Misery's throat, but she's pissed now. She's like, he's not going to back down, and she's not going to let Low put Anna through this. So the blade's pressing into her neck, and she's calling her dad a fucking coward. Serena interrupts her by speaking in their language, telling her that she can shift, and starts transforming one of her fingers into a werenail, and now they have a plan.
Yay!
Misery's like, fine, since I'm about to be sacrificed for literally the third time, can I please at least say one thing to my husband? She professes her love for him, and then she tells him to tell Anna that that thing that she can't do, which is shift, because Anna's a little wolf who should be able to shift, but she can't, that thing that she couldn't do, not to worry about, because she will grow into it and definitely be able to do it by the time she's about 25 or so, and like is looking over to Serena like,
she's like, hey, look.
Lo understands and nods, and then whispers, now. And the next thing they know, Owen is moving quickly to release his handcuffs, and then all hell breaks loose. So, Owen was actually on their side the whole time. They were, like, playing a little game. Basically, when Misery and Low fucked, and then he got that call right after and he's like, I gotta go. That was Owen calling. Lo left to go meet up with him. They were able to go over the security footage of her and Serena's old place getting broken into, and it was Mick. And Lo knew that Mick was the one that he just sent to go pick up Misery. So they came up with a plan to pretend that Owen turned on Lo to get access to Misery's father, Misery, and Serena. They currently have her father blindfolded and handcuffed, so he's defenseless and can't thrall anyone. Owen tells his dad that, I'm going to take over everything that you loved and cared for. And he asks Misery if she had anything to say to their dad, and she's like, no, he's not worth shit. Fuck him.
Yeah.
She goes upstairs in her childhood bedroom and falls asleep, waking up next to Serena. They have a cutesy best friend makeup sesh, and Misery promises her that she loves her just the same, knowing she's part were. In fact, she's in love with one herself.
Go get your man, girl.
It's a few days later, and Misery goes to Owen asking where Lo was, and he told her that he left yesterday to go home, and she's like, damn, he really left without me. Owen asks her what she wants to do, and he tells her, get the fuck out of my office. So on her way out, she steals his keys. Her and Serena play Grand Theft Auto with Owen's car, and they decide to go take a trip to Lo's home. Serena starts befriending Juno, who's teaching her how to tune into her wolfy side of things, and then Misery goes to her old bedroom, and she finds literally everything packed up. She's hella sad because she can't believe it's done and over all like that. She jumps when she hears Lo calling her name behind her, and she apologizes for trespassing, and he tells her she's not. This is her home.
Yeah, it is.
She asked if Serena could meet Anna and if he would be okay with that. And he says once he tells Anna the truth of her lineage, then of course, this pack is now also Serena's. They're catching up on pack stuff, and he tells her he's not used to her saying not what's on her mind. And she's like, yeah, well, it was easier when you were being honest with me and when you weren't going to throw shit in my face. They get in another mini argument, kind of because he won't communicate with her or tell her how he's feeling, and he's just shutting down. And she's had it up to here with it.
Yeah.
He finally tells her he doesn't want her to be trapped by this mate thing because it's not something that it can be undone, and she puts her foot down. She tells him if she wants to be in love with her stupid were husband, she's going to. If she wants to live here, even if he's packing her room up, she's going to. And if she wants to be in Anna's life because she somehow likes her, she's going to. We find out that he only packed up her things because he was changing the windows for them to be more vampire friendly.
Okay.
And he was like, I wasn't kicking you out.
She just really jumped to conclusions there. But I mean, I feel like anyone would.
Yeah.
Finally, when he gets it through his thick ass werehead skull that she's staying, he calls her his mate. She tells him that she loves him so much, so they're gonna have sex the right way.
The blunt head of his cock is bumping against my clit, and when he pulls back, it's caught against my entrance, ready to slide in. You're so warm inside, so wet, just for my knot.
Yeah.
They make sweet, sweet love.
I'm going to do it, Misery. I'm going to come where I'm supposed to. Okay.
Okay, do it then.
Yeah. His voice is barely comprehensible. I'm going to pop a knot in your tight little... Oh my God. A sudden shift and the pressure increases. Lo is coming. His orgasm a powerful thing that neither of us is ready for. He tries to get deeper, even when there's nowhere to go. Even past the moment where I think his pleasure should have ended. I make myself pliant and welcoming until he seems to recover enough presence of mind to say, my beautiful mate, taking it so well. Another wave of pleasure crashes over him as he spurts inside me and his neck strains back, eyes glazed.
Pop that knot.
And Misery is loving this. She starts coming herself, and now they're just chilling with his knot inside of her. She reassures him that she, in fact, was not in pain at all, and she's like, I think I'm really starting to like knotting. She falls asleep with him still inside her and wakes up in the middle of the night. He told her it took about 30 minutes for his knot to go down, and they shower together and he did it again. He tells her he wants to officially mark her with a mate scar, but he wants to do it in a ceremony that will be very special to them. We're in the epilogue, and Cohen is bringing Anna back to them, and Anna runs straight into Misery's arms, making Lo look like chopped liver. Cohen takes one step into the doorway when he pauses and grips the frame. Lo follows his gaze, and he's staring straight at Serena, who's bent down petting Sparkles with a smile on her face, and Cohen just says, I'm fucked. The end.
Bum, bum, bum. So he's in love with Serena.
Gotta keep an eye out for Serena.
So, Riley, how many red pepper emojis do you give this one?
I liked it. It was cutesy. I think I'll give it 4.
Okay. Do you think Lo is sexy?
Sexy enough.
Get the job done.
Yeah.
Would you trade places with Misery?
I don't know. Maybe. It wasn't like too bad. She did get poisoned, but maybe.
So next week we're telling Riley all about Tentacle Entanglement by Siggy Shade. And we're going to have her look at the cover and give us her best guess on what it might be about.
Siggy Shade. I like that name. All right. So it has tentacles on the cover. I think it'll be a monster book.
Good guess.
I think it'll be a monster romance. So let's see. Let's see. What do we think? I think it's going to be a human girl and she is going to be going on a trip on an island of sorts. And she's in the water. She's swimming. She sees something. It's this tentacle man. And he's trying to tell her something about the island. Something bad. And she's going to have to do something for him. But during all of this, this thing that they're doing, they're going to fall in love. And they're going to have sex. How did I do?
That's not the vibe.
No.
Okay. Well, damn.
There are tentacles, though.
I thought she was really on it based off of Charlotte's reaction.
I was just laughing because you got so specific, but it was so like over here. Yeah. But I loved the commitment.
Thank you. I really wanted to try this one.
You should be an author.
I'm going
to. Yeah, I'd read that book.
I'm going to write it now. She's going to see something in the water and she's going to say, hey.
Hey. Write it just like that. I love that dialogue.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at @SmutUpAndListenPodcast and on TikTok at @SmutUpAndListen.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.